And we say thank you very much. Welcome back to Farm Talk, North Dakota Corn Council Studio on the road, Louisville, Kentucky, at the National Farm Machinery Show. And he's back by popular demand from the Kentucky Beef Council. Nathan Lawson joins us. Hello, Nathan.
Hi, Mick. Thanks for having me on again.
You're very welcome. We talk agronomy and iron and stewardship and all kinds of good. We just don't talk about cows that often on Farm Talk. So great to sit down with you and continue the conversation.
Yes, sir.
You're, 8 months into the job as the executive director of the Kentucky Beef Council.
Yep, and just to clarify, I'm the director.
Director.
So Dave Maples is our executive director and very much our captain of the team. And he's been in that role for about 20 years. And so has a good tenure there, and you know he's been a great leader for the beef industry in the state of Kentucky and for the membership of our Cattlemen's Association. And so he's very much the one that pours the coal to our team, and we're thankful to have his leadership there.
But he's the one that'll crack the whip on Nathan when, you know, hey, I need you to do this, need you to do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep, definitely follow his lead.
38,000 producers of cattle in Kentucky.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's correct. Yep, we have a great group of producers in the state of Kentucky. You know, I know I'm biased, but in my opinion, some of the best cattlemen and cattlemen women in the nation are here in Kentucky. Like we say, the life cycle starts here. We're very much a cow-calf state, and there's a lot of management that goes into maintaining a cow herd and calving cows. In fact, we're right in the throes of the spring calving season for a lot of producers here in the state right now. As we wake up to those teen temperatures here in Kentucky this morning.
How shocking is that to the typical Kentuckian?
It's a little tough, I'll tell you that. We've had a fairly mild winter, but I will say that frozen ground is a welcome sight to Kentucky cattlemen right now. You know, our soils are silt loam, clay-based soils, and the amount of precipitation we have annually makes it kind of tough through the wintertime to feed cows and to have enough compacted area to be able to feed them on well. And so frozen ground's a good thing for us. I know I enjoyed it this morning myself as I got out and unrolled some hay for our cows.
All right, yeah. Firm ground is good.
That's right.
Yesterday we talked with Fred Sipes from the soybean growers. He's got a 250-head cow-calf operation, but you said 30, about 30 is the average size, huh?
It is. You know, with that large number of producers, you know, most of our folks in the state of Kentucky that are involved in the cattle business work off the farm as well. We have a great network in the state of auction barns, and so I think that helps provide easy access to good markets for folks to be in the cattle business, and those kinds of pathways tend to make it attractive for people that have a small farm, want to have a few cows, maybe their kids are involved in the livestock showing industry, and so they want to make that a part of their family's culture, and it works really well here in the state of Kentucky.
I could see, though, that a 30-head herd size would be perfect for a registered or certified operation. Do you have a lot of those?
We do. We do. We have, of course, Angus is the dominant breed in the state, but we have a good number of Hereford breeders, also Simmental. There'll be some Limousine and a few Charolais folks left. And I'm sure I'm leaving one out along the way, but that captures the majority of them. And you know, those folks do a great job with their cattle. What we're beginning to see a lot of is a lot of our seed stock producers have developed opportunities for their customers to market feeder calves commingled with a group of producers who are purchasing like genetics from those seed stock producers, and then in many cases they're retaining ownership of those calves as they send them out west. Mm-hmm. And that's an area that I think is going to grow. It's become pretty popular in some cow-calf producers that are taking advantage of those genetics are, you know, seeing some benefit and some extra profit in retaining that ownership and commingling. But those kinds of sales aren't necessarily new to Kentucky. Several years ago, something began here through our auction barn system called the CPH 45 sales, and those sales were designed, they were a certified health program sale.
Okay.
And so there was a vaccine protocol that went with those sales, and then there was also the opportunity for producers, like I mentioned, to bring their cattle to the barn on sale day, and they would be graded and sorted by a third party person, primarily from the Kentucky Department of Ag office, and then they would be sold in larger lots and take advantage of those higher numbers.
All right. Well, so value added. There
That's
we
right.
go. More. Now, you're telling me that in the last 8 months or so, you've been shepherding a lot of county meetings, Kentucky Cattlemen County meetings, and the big issue, the tip of the spear right now for the beef industry especially, is what NCBA likes to call fake meat, but it's plant-based protein. And this is, it was a little concerning at the start because, first of all, they're calling it meat, or Impossible Burger, and labeling is an issue and all. But has the dust settled a little bit? Is there less of a reason to be worried about market share, or what's the position of Kentucky Cattlemen?
Very good question, Mick. I think what we're beginning to see is we're starting to see the headlines shift a little bit. You know, in my gut, I want to believe that means that the momentum is starting to shift. Of course, the media has done a good job of promoting the marketing campaigns that many of these companies have taken, which is really a campaign built on consumer fears about the environment and misconceptions about animal agriculture,
right,
which has made it very challenging for us as a beef industry and community to advocate against. But much like other things, facts are slow to come to the table. And I think as consumers become more aware of the facts about beef production, about the sustainability of producing cattle and producing beef and other forms of traditional protein, the fact that cattle are a huge benefit to the environment and to ecosystems as a whole, and really something that we need, you know, to have as a part of our life cycles. And so I think as they become more aware of that and those facts, they're going to begin to recognize that most of the push against is really based on marketing, and it's a form of marketing that seeks to take advantage of fear rather than facts.
Right, and as people become more aware of, you know, very few consumers go through the grocery store reading the labels on the soup cans and all that, but if they start reading the label, they start learning what's in that plant-based protein burger to make it taste like meat, there's, I mean, thousands of times the number of hormones in there than on a good old plain old beef. There's all, you know, all the things that are in there. And I've never had one. I don't intend to, but I don't, based on what I know about them, I wouldn't want to.
Don't want to.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And I think that's a key point that protein, traditional protein, has in its corner is we're a whole protein product. You know, a whole protein and a whole fat product. And even in the case of ground meats, you know, they're minimally processed, whereas these products are a truly and wholly processed product.
Right.
And so, you know, I've even heard folks liken some of the ingredient lists to dog food. And so, you know, that they mirror some of those products pretty closely. And I think that what we do know is that numbers don't lie, right, Mick? And what we've seen in consumer spending in the beef industry is that beef substitutes only capture about 0.5% of beef's market share in the consumer space. And so that number may grow a little bit, it may not, but ultimately it's something that is right in our faces. It's very frustrating for us, particularly for hardworking folks that are out there caring for their cattle in weather like we're having in Kentucky today, you know, 19 degrees and a lot of wet soil underneath that frozen top. And so, you know, folks, it's offensive. We're not trying to do anything wrong. We're not a malicious group of folks, right? We're trying to provide good food for people and help sustain a population that's growing rapidly. And so ultimately those numbers are in our favor. And I think consumers trust us. You know, I think by and large, consumers have a high level of trust of their farmers.
But ranchers, cattlemen women need to tell the story, get out there on the front lines and just let everybody know that agriculture in general is not a carbon problem, it's a carbon sink. You know, cattle fart, just like people, there is a methane issue, but it's the data has been so misconstrued out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, ruminant animals, they belch a lot of methane, and so that is something that has been taken advantage of. But You know, when we look at history and we look at the role of ruminant animals in our ecosystems, and being able to take a human inedible product in the form of our forages, our grasses and legumes that we typically, you know, people can't convert those products to proteins and nutrients, but cattle can. And so we really like to think of that, that being the superpower of those cows, right? They can take those human inedible foods and convert them to human nutrient-dense edible proteins.
Energy.
That's right.
For us, yeah. Yeah. And so, if you want a plant-based protein, get a steak.
That's right. Yes, sir. The original plant-based beef.
That's it. All right. Nathan Lawson of the Kentucky Cattle Association, thank you very much for the visit. Again, I wish you great success in your job as the director of the Kentucky Cattle Association. You're going to direct a lot of research and promotion, and the Kentucky ground beef. What is the name of your ground beef product?
Kentucky Cattlemen's Ground Beef.
And yeah, that's in all the
Kroger stores. Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty special.
That's
great. And I think there's a challenge for all the other state associations. Get a state product in the grocery stores in our state. So, alrighty, thank you so much for the visit. And again, wish you lots of luck in the future.
Thank you, Mick.
We'll stay in touch.